The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Ouch, that hurt. If you didn't see it on Facebook yesterday, why I was not in the studio, and I still feel a little funky. I'm kind of out of it, and my jaw hurts, and I'm missing a tooth in my mouth. So yesterday, I was like, maybe I'll be able to do the show, but what was supposed to take an hour took almost two to remove a crown and then the tooth underneath it. And instead of coming out in one or two pieces, it came out in 12. So if you have had some traumatic dentist experiences, and I'm not saying that I did, because my dentist is awesome. He's a great guy. He's very encouraging, kind, but it just ended up being a real challenge. And so I was in there for a couple of hours and they used all kinds of wild stuff to get this stupid tooth out. And so then they had to suture it, do this all. So by the time I got home, my appointment was at 10 and I thought I'd be done by 11 or so, but I wasn't done till noon. And by the time I got home, I was just, my whole face was sore. My half my face was numb. So it was just not a pretty situation at all. So then I made the decision, I cannot do radio today. So I bailed and we played a show that I did just about a little over a month ago with Carl Truman. An incredible book dealing with the transgender issue, and not just that, but how do we get as the Western civilization, and specifically here in America, to the point where people can say, "Hey, I'm a woman trapped in a man's body," or vice versa. And a good chunk of the culture just kind of goes, "Yeah, okay, whatever, bro. You know, whatever, ma'am, sis, she, he, whatever," and then just kind of walk away from it, right, and just get on with your day. But it was fascinating, so I decided to replay that interview yesterday. Today, hoping my buddy Pastor Micah Corona gets in. We've got bad weather here, so I'm not sure if he's stuck in some bad weather or traffic or what's going on. So he may walk in at any minute, and then we're going to jump in. He was on not that long ago. We did a show talking about Daniel, how Daniel was just an excellent example of how we can live ourselves in these very challenging days, given everything going on in our nation and around the world. And that was a great conversation, so we wanted to do that again. And so, Pastor Micah, if you listen to the Truth Radio Network here in the Triangle area where I live, Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, and you listen to Truth Radio, which is how I got on the radio in the first place, my buddy Stu Epperson and the whole team there, then you can listen to Micah on Saturdays at 12 noon, Living Strong with Micah Corona, on the Truth Radio stations here locally or on the app. Truth Radio's got a great app, but you can listen to great teaching all the time. So he's on Saturdays at 12 p.m. LivingStrongRadio.com is the website. So we're going to see. Hopefully Micah will get in here, and maybe it's just some bad weather or something. So I want to do something that I wanted to talk about the other day. We'll see, and hopefully, Lord, you'll bring Micah in safe and sound, and we'll dive into it. He's doing a great series right now called Building Strong Relationships and Building Strong Families. And I was reading through the transcript of one of them just recently called Less Critical. And I'm like, ugh. Last week on Theology Thursday with our friends at Bob Jones University, if you were here for that, Alan Benson, who was my main contact and the first person I started to get to know down there, we did a show on the tongue, the power of the tongue, and the story that your tongue tells, as we have a challenge with that these days, do we not? Whether it be the spoken word or what we say on social media. So that was then. And then hopefully with Micah today, we can talk about one of his messages recently was being less critical on this whole series on building strong relationships and strong families. And I don't know about you, but I struggle with that all the time. I'm super critical, as you can imagine, listening to me on the air. And so one of the things I wanted to do today in lieu of that is, well, criticize myself. And so this was something that I think this is a good lesson for all of us. This happened to me just recently on Facebook. And I thank my darling wife, Gina, for helping me out with it. And so there was a tweet that I saw about Dr. Fauci. Okay. And then there's a tweet and then there's a clip. There's a clip from him being on the Sunday morning show. I think he was with, I can't remember the guy's name. Meet the Press. Okay. So here was the tweet. So there's a great lesson in here for all of us, which is why I wanted to bring this up. The tweet says, when asked about natural immunity to COVID on Meet the Press, Dr. Fauci says, quote, when you do get infected, you get strong immunity. There's no doubt about that. The durability is unclear. Period. Close quote. Adding, immunity so high, it's, quote, surpassing any of the other two-dose vaccines that you get. Now, that's a pretty amazing statement, isn't it? Given Fauci and him pushing the vaccines the whole time. For him to say, well, when you do get infected, you get strong immunity. There's no doubt about that. The durability, meaning how long it lasts, is unclear. But then if he goes on to say immunity so high, it's surpassing any of the other two dose vaccines that you get. That is pretty earth-shattering, right? That would be an earth-shattering quote because he's saying natural immunity is actually stronger than getting two doses of Pfizer or two doses of Moderna. So I share that just sitting in the kitchen with my bride, I share that with her. And she's like, well, because she could tell that there was a video clip. She goes, did you listen to the clip? Oh, well, that's a good idea. So based on what I just told you, what was tweeted, and based on the clip, now I want you to listen to the clip. Okay, here we go.
Some scientific proof that if you've gotten COVID, you get some natural immunity.
Talking down.
Do we have some good studies that indicate how long those natural immunities last?
Not yet, Chuck. We don't. We're following that, but not yet. We do know that when you do get infected,
here's the first part,
you get strong immunity. There's no doubt about that. The durability is unclear. There's another fact we know, that if you do get infected and recover and get vaccinated, the level of your immunity is extraordinarily high, surpassing any of the other two-dose vaccines that you get.
Okay, so did you catch that? Now, set down your disdain for Fauci, okay? Just set that down for a minute. If you look at the quote, if you look at the tweet, okay, you look at the actual tweet, and then you listen to what's said. So remember, the tweet is saying that essentially what he said is immunity so high it's surpassing any of the other two-dose vaccines that you get. Here's the lesson. That's actually not what he said. What he said was if you get infected, you get COVID, and you get the two-dose Pfizer or Moderna, then you end up with immunity so high it surpasses just the vaccines themselves. See what happens there? So you got to be careful because this is confirmation bias. So I saw that and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is incredible. Fauci's admitting, or he's saying, that natural immunity as a result of having gotten COVID is stronger than any two-shot vaccine immunity. Wow, that's amazing. Except that's not what he said. So there's the lesson for all of us to make sure we're paying attention. If we say we're for the truth, then we got to find the truth. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. And we were planning to have a conversation today with my buddy, Pastor Micah Corona from Living Word Family Church. Not exactly. Maybe we crossed our wires. We pulled a, oh, what's that old movie called? Ghostbusters. We crossed the streams and got our dates mixed up. But we did have some bad weather here, so hopefully everything's okay. And I'll keep trying to get an answer on that. So if he can't make it today, we'll switch gears and we'll have him back in. We had a great time. Last time he was in talking about his series on Daniel as a great example of something for us to consider, what a great example Daniel was in living in a pagan nation, which you do, by the way. I hope that's not news to you. I hope that's not shocking to you either. But it was it's a great way to kind of consider how we should live in this world that we're in, especially here in America. But then given that Pastor Micah might not be in here today, a couple other things. This whole thing with Gabby Petito and Brian Laundry. Okay, so I shared something the other day on Facebook, which was really important. We've had Joy Forrest in here many times talking about domestic abuse. And so there were some things from this that somebody wrote, that's an author and advocate for survivors of domestic violence, that brought up a bunch of points. That just reminded me of all the shows we've done with Joy that are worth reminding people about. So it's called The Peace Ministries, okay? CALED2TO, Peace Ministries. So she's got a bunch of different lessons in here about kind of what's going on in abusive relationships, because it sure seems like that's what was happening there. But I just want to highlight some of these points. I think this is important for us to consider. Perhaps as the outside looking in, you see this in somebody else's relationship, or maybe this is a situation that you're in yourself. And domestic abuse, which can take many forms, I don't think we talk about it often enough. There's a whole lot of it out there. It's almost, it's basically as common as in the church and outside the church as abortion. 25%, 30%, somewhere around there. Significant numbers, about a third. And the vast majority of it is men abusing women, but it's not exclusively that. There are cases where women are abusing men, okay? But the vast majority, over 90%, is male versus female. So just a couple of points here that I thought were really pertinent that we should probably consider. Followers on social media, she's talking about this young couple, saw a smiling, happy couple full of love and wanderlust setting out for a cross-country adventure while documenting all the joys of young life. In many cases, targets become very good at smiling through the pain. Right? So that's just a lesson in general. And again, this Thursday on Theology Thursday with our friends at Bob Jones University and the seminary, we're going to be talking about the theology of technology, which is going to be fascinating. So that's the thing. What the social media face, you know, when we put those filtered pictures out there, don't assume. Because you look at other people's lives and you go, wow, my life isn't nearly as exciting or fulfilling or as happy as theirs. Just remember, that's usually a snapshot. So that's an important point when you're considering domestic abuse. Number two, when the public was shown body camera footage captured by Moab City police officers, some viewers assumed Petito was suffering from mental illness and laundry, while Nervous was the steadier of the two. Other viewers assume both partners were equally at fault. The old it takes two myth that doesn't really apply to most abusive situations. This is 40 points that she made here. Some people even assume Petito was the abuser and Laundrie was the victim. These three assumptions probably crossed everyone's mind as a possibility. They did mine, she writes. Healthy-minded people tend to give others the benefit of the doubt, especially when someone is being accused of a negative act. Also, we can all understand that mental illness is a difficult situation and can tax even the kindest, most gentle of souls. Unfortunately, in many cases, this thought pattern leads us to assume the victim is mentally ill or that the victim is to blame for an altercation, which is really important. We've talked about that before. Victim blaming can happen even in the worst cases of abuse because we don't see the longitudinal story unfolding. What we don't see is that the target has managed to keep things together until she reached her threshold, at which time we may see her crying, yelling, or breaking down emotionally. By exhibiting those behaviors, many might assume that the target is quote-unquote crazy. And it's natural for us to feel as if the more stable person is more trustworthy, right? Doesn't that ring a little bit true? If you see a couple and they're having an issue, the stable one, you assume, is not the problem. It's the loud one, the crying one, the disturbed one, right? That's an assumption we can make. If we listen carefully to Laundrie's conversation with the officers, he even laughs and says, she's crazy. Then he dismisses it as a joke. Of course, he's already put his claim, this claim in the officer's mind, and by the nonchalant way he says it, many might assume it's not the first time he's said these words. So while viewers and officers start wondering that perhaps the target is crazy, the abuser plays the part of the poor patient partner who has to deal with the irrational person. See the point? It's pretty powerful. A typical abuser would be skilled at convincing people that he's innocent, while in fact he's been acting very differently behind closed doors, pushing his target to the point intentionally and feeding on her emotional break. And can you imagine what these officers feel like now? Because they're like, I didn't catch it. It was an odd situation. We split them up for the night. She was in the hotel. He stayed in the van. And the next thing you know, well, you know what happened. Tragic. And while we don't know for sure that he murdered his fiance, it sure looks that way. And could this be true, that this was kind of an abusive situation? Talking about a typical abuser would be skilled at convincing people that he's innocent, while in fact he's been acting very differently behind closed doors, pushing his target to the point of intentionally feeding on her emotional break. Many abusers love to see evidence that they've hurt their target. Going on, as a result, some people will buy into that false narrative. Even the target can be brainwashed to doubt her own truth. I've seen that. We've had people on the show talk about that before. In contrast, we see Laundrie blaming Petito, insisting he never hit her and saying that he was just trying to keep her calm. He's charming. He comes across as the loving and loyal partner. He's joking around with the officers and even gives one a fist bump in the end. All the while, his fiancée is at risk of being charged with domestic assault and possibly spending the night in jail. Then later, he had the 9/11 thing. Did you hear that? The 911 call? When somebody called in and said the gentleman was slapping the girl. He's pushing her around. He hit her. Then they got in the car and drove off. Just some really salient points here that I thought it was important to kind of share. Also, it seems clear that Petito doesn't want her fiance to be in any trouble covering for him. Joy's talked about that before as well. Joy Forrest with Called to Peace Ministries. She'd rather pay the price and protect the man she loves. And because she probably believes he only acted this way because of her mood or behavior or anxiety or whatever, she doesn't want to be blamed. Doesn't want him to be blamed. Sorry. This is also the norm in abusive relationships. Many experienced and well-trained officers see right through this typical pattern. Others buy the cover-up story. And sadly, because some officers are also abusers, some side with the abuser even when they know exactly what's going on. Throughout the video, we get the sense that the officer senses there's more to the story. I'm just reading a couple of these other parts. Now, of course, you have to be careful when you read stuff like this because there's a lot of assumption here. And this author, although experienced and been dealing with abusive relationships for a while and trying to help people with it, doesn't know everything. They are not in possession of all the details. How could they be? And so you have to proceed carefully. But there's a lot of general things in here. I shared this on Facebook, by the way, so if you want to go look at it or share it, that would be a good idea. Because like Joy said, there's a lot of people that are suffering in silence. So the author ends up this way. The overall takeaway, when we see someone at her emotional end during a domestic dispute, we shouldn't assume she's crazy. We shouldn't buy into the false narrative given by the abuser. We shouldn't believe the cover-up story by the target who has been conditioned to carry all the blame and shame, and we shouldn't assume they're going to be okay. Unfortunately, that's what happened in this case. So she's got a domestic violence hotline from a safe phone. Call 1-800-799-SAFE. 1-800-799-SAFE or text START to 88788. Text START to 88788. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Just kind of wandering a little bit today. Got my schedule messed up. So my friend, Pastor Micah Corona, will be in here next Tuesday, not today. I don't know. Maybe that's the effect of all the numbing agent I was using yesterday. I'm not sure about that. But we'll have him on next Tuesday. So next Tuesday, Pastor Micah Corona, Living Word Family Church. And the radio show, he's on every Saturday on Truth Radio Network here in the Triangle, Saturdays at 12 p.m. Living Strong with Micah Corona. So we're going to be talking about building strong relationships and building strong families. And one of the messages he did on that topic recently was criticism. And I don't know about you, but I definitely struggle with that. And so it's kind of a spirit of criticism. And you think of Jesus saying, before you remove the speck of dust from your brother's eye, you might want to deal with the plank in your own. And so that's pretty powerful to consider and to think about. So we'll do that next week. And then tomorrow, George Barna, who I've been using Barna's research for years, probably 15 years now, just brilliant guy, and just brings out incredible information. He does great nationwide studies on what's going on with the church and what do people believe about the church. And he was on not that long ago. I think George was on about 6 or 7 weeks ago. We'll have him on tomorrow. And then Theology Thursday this week with our friends at Bob Jones University and the seminary is going to be the theology of technology, which is a challenging one in and of itself, is it not? The theology of technology. I do want to ask you a question. For those of you, I'm curious about the whole antibody conversation, because that is at least now getting some traction, that they're starting to talk about antibodies. It was amazing to me that Fauci started to talk about antibodies, or at least was willing to answer the question. But I'm curious as to why this hasn't been a part of the conversation from the get-go, and would be curious to see, and Grayson, my producer in Winston-Salem, I'm going to go ahead and ask for people to call in on this one, because I'm curious to see what you guys think. Why have antibodies not been a part of this? Or have you been in a situation where antibodies were actually a part of the conversation with an employer or a school or something? I'm starting to hear more stories where people are starting to consider the reality is that if you had COVID, then thank you, Lord, you naturally get antibodies to it. And like Pope Fauci said, they're highly effective. Highly effective in keeping you from getting it in the first place. So I'm curious if anybody's got some antibody story out there where the antibodies, you had COVID, you have antibodies, you were tested, and perhaps that became an issue so that you could actually start to utilize antibodies in a conversation, and that made a difference for you at work. Or have you been able to get an exemption, a religious exemption or a medical exemption from the vaccine mandates? We talked about this a couple weeks ago and had a lot of people calling in. I'm just curious to see what's going on there, out there now, because this is continuing to develop to see what happens as we have to engage and deal with these vaccine mandates. So I want to hear from you if you've been able to use natural immunity in the vaccine mandate conversation, or a religious exemption, or a medical exemption. Any of you that have been able to see some success in getting an exemption from the vaccine mandate, would appreciate you calling in and sharing, because all of us that way could kind of learn from your experience. If you want to do that, that would be great. 866-348-7884 is the number. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH, because that is something that is not being talked about. We've known about natural immunity for years. This isn't like it's new science. Talk about following the science. What about the science of natural immunity? And that just hasn't gotten much traction in this conversation. But more people are kind of waking up. And by the way, did you see the Project Veritas video? They took that down as fast as it went up. The Project Veritas video with talking to a federal employee that works in a hospital was saying all kinds of stuff. There's all kinds of behind the scenes kind of whistleblower video talking about the vaccine, talking about the treatment, talking about how you record things. That was highly troubling. And of course, on Facebook, it got yanked already. I'm sure on Instagram, it got yanked. Odds are on Twitter, it got yanked as well. So the whole situation just continues to be kind of muddy. But when it comes to the vaccine mandates, have you been able to get around them somehow? What's happened in your life? I've had a lot of people reach out to me that their job was in jeopardy. They didn't know what they were going to do. And I've had some people that already decided to lose their job. And other people who work remotely, it didn't even make sense that they would be required to get a proof of vaccination or get a proof of a negative COVID test every week when they don't even work with anybody. They work completely remote. But have you been able to get an exemption for the vaccine mandate where you work, maybe at school, a situation like that? I would love for you to call in and share that. 866-348-7884 is the number. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH, as we continue to try to kind of work our way down the road here with what's going on with COVID. And then did you see last week? This was just, I think, like on Friday, where the FDA did not give approval to Pfizer for a second shot. I mean, for a booster shot. Now, that's interesting to me, that Pfizer did not give approval to the booster shot. And now, of course, the next thing is that they're talking about is the vaccines for kids down to like 5 years of age. And by the way, 5-year-olds since COVID started. 5 years of age, there have been exactly 11 deaths out of a population of 4,028,000. So 11 out of 4 million, I'm looking at, this is current CDC numbers. So death rates with COVID, not necessarily from COVID, with COVID, per 100,000 for a 5-year-old is 0.27 per 100,000. But that's only 11 out of 4 million. Tragic deaths, of course, every single one of them. But 11 out of 4 million. So why are we rushing so quickly into getting vaccines for kids when their chance of dying from COVID is statistically insignificant, right? That's why you got to continue to look at the details and think for yourself. That's your business. You get it, you don't get it, that's your business. But I'm curious, and I want to keep the phones open. Have you been able to get around the vaccine mandate with a religious exemption, a medical exemption, or perhaps even antibodies? 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH, because I guarantee you there's other people that need to hear your story because they're dealing with it themselves. Well, we had Vicky in North Carolina, but we just lost her. So let me just go through some more of these numbers. As we talk about vaccinating kids, okay, 5 to 12 years of age, 6 years of age, okay, 8 children, sadly, tragically, have died with COVID, 6 years of age since it all started, out of a population of a little over 4 million. If you go up to age 7, 13 out of 4 million. If you go up to age 8, 13 out of 4,066,000. Age 9, 14, all tragic, with COVID, not necessarily of COVID, but with COVID, 14 out of 4 million. 10 years old, 9 out of 4 million. 11 years old, 11 out of 4.1 million. 12 years old, 21 out of 4.2 million. 13 years of age, 25 out of 4.1 million. 14 years of age, 20 out of 4.1 million. I actually put this whole graphic up, by the way, the other day on my Facebook pages. So you can go look at it for yourself. So you look at this and you go, how many people out of what population? Now, again, I've said this so many times, and I'll say it again because I think it's worth repeating. Every single COVID death from it or with it is a tragedy, especially if you're significantly under the natural life expectancy in America, which is about 78 years of age. So even when you get up, like, let's look at my age. I'm 55. Okay, there's been 5,760 deaths out of 4.3 million. Okay, so that's 121 per 100,000. Okay, that now we're talking more significantly. Okay, then I said, okay, so when we get into the older ages, I'm going to start paying more attention. I'm not going to make policy based on what's going on with the younger ages, but I definitely would in the older ages. I think we have Vicky back. Let me jump over here and see if we can get Vicky, who's weighing in on the COVID situation. Vicky, thanks for calling in. Go right ahead.
Hey, I was calling in. I was able to get a religious exemption from my job. I used information that I found on Voices for Truth that talked a lot about the fetal cells.
Uh-huh.
So I was allowed the exemption. I did decide not to stay at the job because I was going to have to test every week. I've already had COVID, but I haven't had an antibody test. And so, no, I decided to move on. But I was able to get the exemption, and from what I understand, quite a few people at our organization was allowed religious exemption.
Yeah, see, that's great news, Vicky. I got a really crazy connection there, but it's super important to know that, okay? That people can get exemptions. They are getting exemptions. You have to ask, you have to apply, you have to go for that. You got to make an issue of it. So don't just kind of lay down. If you don't want to get it, you're going to have to fight. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. And just literally making it up as I go along today. It's cards on the table. I messed up the date. Totally my bad that I thought Pastor Micah Corona was coming in today. He had it right. He had it next Wednesday, the 29th. For some reason, I had it on Tuesday, the 21st, which is today. And when I messed that scheduling up, this was before I had my tooth ripped out of my face yesterday. So I can't blame like numbing agents or anything. It's just me being a messed up human being that makes mistakes every once in a while. So that's the deal. So that'll be next week. Mike will be in next Wednesday, the 29th, which I suppose is when we got it scheduled in the first place. Totally my bad. But still recovering from my fun time yesterday getting a tooth removed, which came out in 12 pieces instead of one or two. So that was fun. Anyway, I was going through just talking about some of the COVID stuff going on. Somebody asked the question, Tom on Facebook Live asked the question, where's the GOP in the midst of all this? That's a great question. There has not been, I'd say the GOP in terms of COVID has been represented well by just a few people, a few governors here and there, DeSantis and Abbott in Texas, and then Rand Paul, who's for the most part an independent. But most of the GOP Although on a state and local level, there's been, you know, there's been bills passed and things done, in, like here in North Carolina in the legislature. But I think when you ask the GOP, you're talking about on the national level. And there's just not a lot, because there's not a lot of people, unfortunately, that I think have a good grasp on the numbers. Certainly Rand Paul does, Senator Rand Paul does. Because when you look at, you know, Delta, Delta, Delta. But if you look, I'm looking at daily new cases right now in America. Okay, daily new cases in the United States, which we went over this recently. If you want to look it up, I'll put the link on Facebook Live. Worldometers, okay, is a good place to go. They have all kinds of great information. But Worldometers, if you go look at their COVID stuff, I just put a link up on Facebook Live, so you can go look at it for yourself, okay, if you're following along on Facebook. If you go look at daily new cases, so the ultimate spike, of course, was the beginning of this year. Like January 8th, 2021. Daily new cases was 304,000. Okay, that was our biggest spike since it all started, going back to March 19th of 2020. So when you go back, all the way back, March 19th, March 20, you're looking at like 5,000 cases. Okay, then we had a little bump in August. We had a peak in August or July, summer last year. Remember, during BLM and all that stuff. Then it fell as we went into the fall. And then it started to take off again in the winter months. And remember, there was no flu. Remember all that? And then it got to that peak of over 300,000, which was on January 8th of this year. Then it plummeted. And it came all the way down to the lowest thing on this chart is about 13,500, 13,162, which was in June 22nd, 13,000. Then it spiked up again. That's Delta. The Delta variant, that goes up, and we hit the peak of the Delta variant on August 27th, okay, not that long ago, August 27th, a month ago, we hit the peak, and it seems like the government's always lagging 2 to 3 weeks behind reality, okay, because they're still acting like Delta's completely out of control, but we're on the back side of the hill, okay, we climbed up the hill, we hit the top of the hill, think of like you're on a roller coaster, on August 27th, daily cases, 196,818. And then it started to come down. Okay, and it's continuing to come down. September 20th, today, or yesterday, is down to 86,000 new cases. That's nationwide, okay? So from a high of 196 on August 27th, it came down to, on September 20th, 3 weeks later, 86,000. So a significant drop-off, right? Significant. So Delta, and this is new cases, all right, which we know now that the vaccines do not keep you from getting COVID again. The vaccines appear to be effective at keeping your COVID from being as extreme or as deadly. And that's important. Okay. That's not the only thing you consider with the vaccines. If you start doing your research, you start looking at adverse reactions, all that kind of stuff. That's all significant and it all matters. The problem is there's not really a clearinghouse anywhere. Not one person saying, well, here's the deal. Here's the 10 things you need to consider and make a choice from that. Here's some serious concerns. You don't hear that in the mainstream media. And you usually don't hear it even in regular social media. You get little bits and pieces. That's why it's so frustrating. And so many of us won't take the time. I mean, you could somebody sends me every day. I get videos or things of doctors and different things that are out there. And, you know, hour and 20 minutes, hour and 30 minutes. And I just simply do not have the time to sit down and watch the whole thing. And usually it's anti-vaccine, which is fine. That information's legitimate in terms of consideration. But you got to look at just raw numbers, which you don't, most people don't. So you look at that Delta, we hit the peak and we're coming way down now. Okay. Then you go look at deaths. And that's also tragic, right? Of course, don't write it off. Now, if you're one of those people that says there's no such thing as COVID, I don't even know how you get there. I don't know how you come up with that. And I just write that off. When I get a message about that, when I see a post about that, I just write it off. COVID doesn't exist. Yeah, okay. Okay? So it does exist. Now, it's not nearly as deadly as people think it is worldwide or across America and across age strata. People usually don't talk about that either. You just go, hey, 655,000 people have died. You go, okay, first of all, you do know that that's reporting death with COVID, not necessarily death from COVID. So right now we're at 695,699 total deaths with COVID. how many of them are actually primarily because of COVID? I don't know. Let's say it's the lion's share. Okay, so that's serious. That's more than heart disease, less than abortion in a year. Okay, but we're talking right now total deaths, 18 months. So you got to factor that in as well. But let's look at the death number. The worst day for deaths in America was on January 12th. Remember, our highest cases was slightly before that, so deaths usually lag cases by a week to two. So January 12th was the worst day of individual deaths reported with COVID, 4,489. That was January 12th. Then we came way down into the hundreds. Like June 29th, we had 325. July 2nd, we had 313. July 5th, we had 165. So some pretty low numbers, okay? Especially when you consider a nation of 330 million people. Then it starts to go up. It lags behind. Deaths lag behind COVID. New cases, because the new case doesn't turn into a death right away. So new cases are going to go up faster than deaths. Deaths are going to lag by a week to two. So then you saw the worst day with this spike was not that long ago, September 15th, where there were 2,417 deaths. But since then, it's dropped significantly. So just yesterday, 777 reported deaths with COVID yesterday. 777, the day before, 673. So let's just say 700 versus the high on September 15th of 2,417. So it's dropped by two-thirds. Who's reporting that? Hey, good news, everybody. New cases, presumably with Delta, have dropped precipitously, enormously, and deaths have dropped up. Okay? Deaths have dropped down. Sorry. Significantly by about two-thirds, and they lag by 2 weeks. So you start looking at this, and you go, oh, okay, all right. So that starts to make some sense. And then you got to factor in, well, what do you do about it? Well, I've said it before. I'll say it again. And some people don't like hearing this. If you're 18 and under, want to know what you do about it? In terms of a policy nationwide? Nothing. You don't do anything. Because you don't make a policy based on significantly insignificant data. And again, if you look at 1 year's of age, 1 year of age, okay? 23 COVID deaths out of 3.8 million is 0.60 per 100,000, okay? These numbers are just really small. Tragic, but small. 10 years of age, I said this earlier, 9 deaths out of a population of 4,060,000. So that's 0.22 per 100,000. 0.22 per 100,000. So you need to deal with a sample of 400,000 to get to one child out of that 400,000 dies from COVID or with COVID. Should you mask all 400,000 children for that? No, of course not. Should you put plexiglass between them all? No, of course not. And they're not even good spreaders of COVID. So what's the issue? And the flu season can be worse for kids than COVID. We had a bad flu season in 2019, 2020. And the death rates in there were worse than COVID. Do you remember anything crazy happening with respect to what we did with our kids then? No. So again, this is a personal choice. This is up to you, vax or don't vax. I am not vaccinated. I have had COVID. I'm going to get an antibody test soon just so I can talk about it. I do want to know about that myself, but that's my decision. Your decision is yours. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. I'm not going to judge you whether you get COVID or not. I won't judge you if you wear a mask all the time or not. I would ask for you not to judge me. And if you think I don't love my neighbor, again, right now we only have about 14 months worth of long-term data from what happens on the other side of getting the vaccines. Only 14 months. When we have 48 months, let's have a conversation again. Because if we see all kinds of problems like long-term ability to get pregnant, if that becomes an issue, then perhaps the loving position was caution. It was a yellow flag rather than a green flag. And always be concerned with who's waving the flag. Who's waving the green flag? It was Trump, then it's Biden's, federal governments, Fauci, Birx, CDC, NIH. Have a healthy dose of skepticism in all of it. But make sure you're paying attention to data. Data matters. Facts matter. This is Steve Noble and the Steve Noble Show. God willing, we'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
another program powered by the Truth Network.